Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby.
Here's a mistake and a throw. Puck by Richard. Score! A taser from Jonathan Toews, his first.
Hello, hockey fans. How are you doing today? It's Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. It is Victoria Day here in Canada. May long, the May 2-4. Co-host Tom here with you. I got co-host Jared with me as always. He's working on the, the second part of the 2-4 there you got going? Tradition states.
It's been one of those weekends for sure.
So, May long weekend. Kick off to summer, but here we are talking hockey, and you know what? The playoffs are just about down to the conference finals. We've got a game 7 that's going to be tonight, Edmonton, Vancouver. It doesn't get any better than that. Should be a beauty. But we've got to give this episode a name, and since it's season 6, episode 28, we thought we'd go with one of the best defensemen, offensive defensemen of the 80s and 90s, undrafted out of Sept-Îles, Quebec. It's Steve Duchesne, number 28. He wore 28 for a lot of teams. He moved around a bunch, but he was a very solid player. And it's kind of surprising that he was undrafted, played for the
Drummondville.
Drummondville Voltigeurs of the Quebec League. And yeah, I do find it surprising that he somehow went undrafted. I don't know how. Was that a size thing? He's not the biggest guy in the world. And you know, when he turned pro in the kind of early mid 80s, that was, defensemen were generally by and large a larger breed. I don't know. Steve Duchesne, where's your thoughts go when I say Steve Duchesne?
My main Duchesne brain goes directly to he was part of that massive haul for Eric Lindros.
Yep.
But I will also say that I think about him with the LA Kings, because he did play with Gretzky, did he not? Yeah. With the Kings,
and that was kind of his main place that he played. 442 games there. There would have been some overlap with LA and Duchesne and Gretzky, because Gretzky got there summer of 88, so he would have played.
Yeah,
you know, so he played 88, 89. So there was about three or four
years. And you can see a direct correlation probably in Steve Duchesne's points. So I think I've talked about this on the show, but I used to go see every year on my birthday, the Kings and the Jets used to play at the old barn on Maroons Road. And so saw Steve Duchesne play quite a bit. But honestly, the main memory is being part of that massive Lindros haul that the Quebec Nordiques got. Although his time in Quebec was very, very short. He averaged a point a game with the Nordiques in 92-93 and then was traded that summer. And I remember being, because I was a Nordiques fan, I was like, man, Steve Duchesne is awesome.
Yeah.
Why are we trading him?
Why?
And then the haul that we got back was kind of infuriating. We got back Ron Sutter. Always good to get a Sutter brother, but we got
Not the best Sutter brother.
No, he was not the best Sutter brother, but Garth Butcher, who was like a classic stay-at-home defenseman.
I mean, he had, I would call that Like his hair is what I'm thinking of.
The
The
spiky hair,
spiky
right?
with a little bit of dangle.
Yeah. And then Bob Basson, who was like your prototypical fourth line center. And
I
then
don't
they
even
gave up,
remember Bob Basson.
well, they gave up Steve Duchene, and then they gave up Dennis Chassé, who was,
Going to go ahead and say it was a salary dump type of trade. You
yes,
know,
yes.
where that like I don't think
Well, we're not too far removed from Quebec moving to Colorado, so you're definitely right. Hey, just kind of a step aside. I don't think I talked about this last week, but in relation to all of this, there's a great documentary on Amazon right now called Saving Sakic that's
Oh,
about
yes, I've seen the ads.
41 minutes long. It is fascinating. And if you've ever wanted to see how Joe Sakic ties to Han Solo slash Indiana Jones, Mr. Harrison Ford,
Okay.
this documentary is for you. But I digress. So Steve Duchene, yeah, he
Well, he
was.
would have played in Quebec with Sakic for that season
Oh
when
man.
he put up 82 points in 82 games.
Yeah, which was his career highlight. Didn't have much success in the playoffs that year, though. They were out in six games. They lost in the first round.
Yeah, that's the thing about Duchene is that he played on, well, how many different teams? One, two, three, four, five, six different teams. He had a 16-year career. Played over 1,100 regular season games. His playoffs, I mean, he did get 121 playoff games in, but he never really played for great teams. Like he played for some stinkers.
Yes.
He did get a cup in his final year. At age 36, he played for Detroit. They won the Stanley Cup. He played all 23 games for the Red Wings on their way to the cup. And yeah, I mean, there's a great picture you shared with me of his toothless grin
Which
holding the cup.
I think you got to share that
Yeah,
with our friends out there on the gram.
definitely.
He definitely he bounced around. But he was traded for some notable guys over the course of his career. Like you mentioned, five teams. Well, he played with the Kings and the Flyers on two different stints. And so, at one point he was traded from Los Angeles to Philadelphia for Dave Babich. Big Dave
Love
Babich
Dave
fan over
Babich.
here. He was also traded from the Flyers, or sorry, to the Flyers from the Kings, and Jari Kurri went back the other way. I don't ever remember Jari Kurri playing for Philadelphia.
No, me neither. That's in 1991. That must have been He must have been in Philadelphia paper transaction only because I cannot remember Jari Kurri as a Philadelphia Flyer at all.
No, although he did bounce around a little bit at the end of his
Yeah,
career.
sure.
And
So
then, go
Jeff
ahead.
Chychrun was part of that trade. Is that Jacob Chychrun's relation of some sort? Father, perhaps? I don't know. It's not a super common name.
It is
And I
not a
know
super.
Jacob Chychrun,
Yeah.
currently of the Ottawa Senators. He was born actually in the States, I think, but identifies as Canadian.
Co-host Tom, you are correct.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. He
There you
was
go.
born, he was Jacob Chychrun. And here's the thing. Up until he got traded to Ottawa last year and the people were talking about him going home, I always thought he was Czechoslovakian or something. I always thought he was like a Euro. So
Czechoslovakia, what are you in 1985 over here? Like
hey.
it's Czechia and Slovakia now.
Well,
Speaking of, Canada's going to be playing Czechia tomorrow, Tuesday,
yeah.
in the World Championships. We'll get into that later. A little more on Steve Duchene first. And I forgot to set my timer, so I really have
Oh,
no idea
I got the
how far
timer
we're at.
rolling.
Okay,
Yeah.
you just give me the signal when it's
Oh,
time to
I will
play our
give you the
first
signal.
song of the show. But yeah, so like, yeah, as we've been kind of saying, old Steve Duchene from Septil, Quebec. He moved around a lot in his playing days. L.A., Philadelphia, Quebec, St. Louis, Ottawa, St. Louis again, L.A. again, Philadelphia again. And then he ended with three seasons in Detroit. His career highs, he had that 82-point season, 20 goals, 62 assists in 82 mm-hmm. games for the Quebec Nordiques. He had, as a rookie, he had five shorthanded goals. That's pretty wild, hey? It's pretty crazy that anybody would even have five shorthanded goals, let alone a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a pretty good number there. He kind of made his mark, you know, as an offensive defenseman immediately when he came mm-hmm. in with LA as an unsigned or undrafted free agent. Signed a deal basically the beginning of the season, probably got an invite to training camp in October 1st, 84.
Yeah.
Signed his deal with LA and, didn't make the team right away.
No, but spent a year in New Haven playing for the Nighthawks, the Kings' old AHL team. It looks like, you know, he was three-time All-Star, repped Canada at the World Championships, won a gold medal in 94 in Milan, silver in 96 in Vienna. So I'm just kind of like dissecting things here, reading between the lines. It looks like part of the reason why Steve Duchene got moved around quite a bit was because he had a contract that was kind of right in that sweet spot of being just a little bit too much for some teams to handle, but just a little bit too little for other teams, right? And so like he got moved, like we said, Quebec to St. Louis, financial considerations. He went to Ottawa, got traded back to the Blues, again, financial considerations. And so I think, you know, he was, I would love to see.
Like a Paul Coffey. I mean, Paul Coffey got moved a whole bunch. So it's like these really good offensive defensemen
mm-hmm.
of the 80s and 90s. Yeah, they played for like so many different teams. Just value, you know, teams want a guy like that, but then I don't know, maybe financial considerations and whatever. It moves on. He played for Ottawa in the mid 90s when Ottawa was not so great. And the first year he was in Ottawa, 95, 96, he had a minus 23, which is the worst plus minus of his career. He was typically a plus player. He ended his career with a plus 89. Not too shabby, but yeah, his 2 years in Ottawa were a combined minus 32. His 2 years in Philly, which were kind of split between a couple other teams, minus 7. Other than that, he was a plus player.
And that's surprising to me because you always figure unfairly that the knock on an offensive defenseman is that he's not real tidy in his own end. You mentioned in Ottawa, he was part of the sort of the Senators teams that's kind of started to emerge. He scored the goal that clinched Ottawa's first ever playoff spot.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. That's a fun fact.
Fun fact. Yeah,
it's a good for Steve. So yeah, so Steve Duchene is one of those guys, and I really do remember him as an LA King. Because that's kind of when I started collecting hockey cards. And coming up a little later in the show, folks, we're going to bring back our segment, A Pack a Day, Pack a Day Habit, where we open a pack of old vintage hockey cards. But yeah, that Opeachy, I remember an Opeachy card with Duchene wearing the black and silver Kings uniform, just a beauty. And he was, you know, like, in those days, the LA Kings wouldn't have been on TV much, except for when they went to the finals against Montreal and whatever, and Gretzky got to town. But you kind of just like had favorite players based on their hockey cards. At least I did, which mm-hmm. is another reason I was a big Dave Babich fan. But
it's the mustache.
Yeah. But Steve Duchene, I think, fair to say, would be in my top five kind of all-time fave D-men. Like, wow. You know, if I had to make a list, he's right up there. I really liked him.
Am I going to put you on the spot and ask you for the other four?
Yeah, you could. I'll give it a shot. I'm not sure. This is like just off the top of my head. It's not something I think about all the time, but Paul Coffey.
Yeah.
And so we'll go maybe in kind of no particular order here, but we'll say Paul Coffey and Steve Duchene. Dave Babich. Zarly Zalapsky, And he played for Montreal. He wore number 20, like in their cup run. Oh my gosh, not JJ Daigneault, but the other one.
Oh, Jean-Jacques Daniel.
Not JJ Daigneault, but he was huge in that 93 playoff run. He's totally escaping tip of my tongue. I'll have to look up. I'll have to Google that and
Oh,
get back
no.
to it. Oh my! What? I'm just like, how do I even find that so quickly? I don't know. It's on the tip of my tongue. Tip of my tongue.
Peter Svoboda.
No, he was cool though. He had a hat trick in the playoffs. In the '93 playoff run, I want to say he wore 28. But maybe that. That's tough. Got to go to HockeyDB real quick. Too much typing here. Okay. Not Patrice Brisebois. Eric Desjardins. There it is. Sorry, my bad. Desjardins. I knew it was a D, and he did wear number 28. And in the playoffs that year, he had 4 goals, 10 assists, and I'm pretty sure that 3 of those 4 were in one game.
So what's interesting about your list, and it's a great list, by the way, a wonderful collection of like prototypical mid-80s to like late-90s guys. Every one of them moved around quite a bit, right?
Yeah,
Like
it's true.
Coffey moved around quite a bit. Zalapski moved around. Desjardins, I remember him playing with at least the Canadians with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. And so you don't see that as much anymore, right? Like
No.
those guys are like top for the most part, like top pair or top four defensemen. And you
Yeah.
don't see a lot of those guys kind of moving around. Guys like Dave Babich, he moved around. He's a beauty though, right? Like he's the kind of guy you want in a dressing room. But yeah, interesting.
I'm just realizing, for Eric Desjardins, he wore 28 for Montreal. We could have chose him, but he wore 37 for Philadelphia. And he actually played in Philadelphia longer than he did in Montreal. So
Yeah.
I think we're pretty on the ball with choosing Steve Duchesne because he did wear 28 for so many different teams. There was like a quarter of a season here and there where he didn't wear 28, but other than that, he was a rock solid number 28.
Yeah.
Steve Duchesne from
Yeah.
Sept-Îles, Quebec. Yeah, all right.
I think you got a good song queued up.
Yeah.
Dirty Nil song.
Yeah, we so Dirty Nil put out an album about a year ago, but I only kind of I don't know. I thought maybe it only just came out now, but it was the deluxe issue that came out. And they have a song on that. It's a banger. It's called Nicer Guy. And
Steve
Steve
Duchesne.
Duchesne, pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but I'm assuming
He looks like a nice guy.
looks like a nice guy. There's no egregious things on his Wikipedia page. So
So we're gonna go with that.
Yeah. So here's the Dirty Nil on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show. All right, that was the Dirty Nil and their song "Nicer Guy," and We just talked about a real nice guy, Steve Duchesne. And so here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show, we're going to segue a little bit now into our middle segment here, second period, as it were. And we've got playoffs to talk about. We're here in Winnipeg. Our team is long done, you know, but mm-hmm. there's still lots of good hockey going on, some very good teams playing. I mean, as it should be when it gets down to the Final Four. We're not quite at the Final Four. This time tomorrow, we will be at the Final Four. The Edmonton Oilers and Vancouver Canucks are squaring off for Game 7 tonight. Jared, does it get any better than a Game 7 between two Canadian clubs in the playoffs? I mean, it's just, look, I know if you're a fan of either team, you're probably a little on edge. You're probably like, I wish I could have wrapped it up in, you know, less games. But for me, I don't really care who wins this series. I'll be cheering for whichever team comes out of it. And I've kind of flip-flopped during the series. There's been times I've been like, yeah, I want Vancouver to win, or yeah, I want Edmonton to win. For me, if this game seven goes to overtime, that's the best thing that could happen, I think. Do you have a particular favorite in this series that you're pulling for, or is it kind of...
Well, I mean, I can kind of flip-flop. It's nice to see a Canadian team sort of in the mix in the Final Four. I right now would say that I'm pulling for the Vancouver Canucks. Just because I think it's a more interesting story. Everything that's kind of gone on this year, even since the beginning of the playoffs, right?
Losing Demko in game one of the first round. They just found out that they have no Brock Besser anymore. He's out now.
Which is going to be really, really hard on them. And I mean, I've got a lot of friends that are Edmonton Oilers fans, and let me tell you, they're just a couple. They're maybe a step or two below your Toronto Leaf fan or Maple Leaf fan, right? Like, they like to complain and whine a little bit, and they've got lots of excuses as to why things haven't gone their way the last 4 or 5 years, when every season's supposed to, this is Edmonton's year.
Yeah, cup or bust. We've heard that a lot,
But at the end of the day, too, right? It's at the end, you want to see the best teams playing, which we've got three of the four teams that are in, the Rangers, Florida, and Dallas, finish 1-2 respectively in their conferences. And if Vancouver was to make it, it would be the 1-2 and the 1-2, right? The best of the best, which is kind of cool because that never happens. But on the whole, at the end, you want to see the best players playing. And there are no better players than McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah. Well, you look at the playoff scoring race right now, it's McDavid, Draisaitl, Bouchard. I think Bouchard is number three, which is quite something because he's, you know, a defenseman and whatever. But he's been very good. I mean, it just seems like, I was watching game six there, and they were talking about Bouchard because he scored. He had a great game. And they were talking about how when Edmonton acquired Ekholm a couple, what was that, 2 years ago?
Deadline 2 years ago.
That really, really kind of
ramped him up.
Bouchard,
eh?
And then they panned to the bench, and there's Paul Coffey on the bench, you know, as the Oilers defenseman coach.
They're like,
there's just like Charlie Huddy to Paul Coffey, right? Like, it's the kind of same dynamic. You got that guy who enables the offensive defenseman to kind of do his thing and not have to entirely, sacrifice offense for defense.
Lots of good storylines too, right? Like potential cup finals if you're looking ahead, right? Like, it would be cool to see the Rangers play the Canucks again.
Yeah,
right?
The 94 like, remix. Yeah,
right?
That would be great.
Or to see the Rangers play the Oilers, right? There's so much history between those two teams.
Yeah. No, I think any combination would be great. Like, you know, Dallas is an absolute wagon, as they say. And just
Dallas,
you watch the way they
so many
play, you're like, they're so deep. It's just like, how do you beat this team? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I was looking at some numbers, and in the first round, the Winnipeg Jets in five games allowed 28 goals against Colorado. And you're like, wow, Colorado, holy moly, right? Dallas somehow found a way to slow them down and shut them down. And the Jets obviously did not. But interestingly, that 28 goals against is more than both the Rangers and the Panthers have allowed, and they've played two full series. So what up with that? just a fun fact, a crazy fact.
And I mean, at this point too, right? I don't really have a dog in the hunt anymore. Mm-hmm. And so what I want to see good hockey. I want to see good series. I want to see back and forth. Like you say, game sevens going to overtime, things like that, right? These are potentially the best of the best. And, you know, you could say that without that horrible slow start that the Oilers had this year, which got their coach fired, which meant that Chris Knobloch and Paul Coffey came in, right? Edmonton probably would have been at the top as one well.
Exactly. Totally. I mean, they had a very good season, except for that, what was it, like 14 game losing streak or whatever.
Yeah.
It was.
And then they went on like an 18 game heater after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it'll be kind of balance it out, but yeah. It'll be interesting. So if you're a fan of the Winnipeg Jets, Jared, there's some ties to the Jets on several of the teams that are left. Of course, former coach Paul Maurice is the bench boss in Florida. So
Paul Maurice and Jamie Compan, who was his right-hand guy.
Yeah, that's
are
right.
There. And then
The New York Rangers have Trouba, Roslovic, Blake Wheeler, who is now, I mean, he suffered that devastating knee or ankle or leg injury back in, I don't know, January or February. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I was like, oh, he's done.
That's not good for an old guy.
No, but he's healthy. He's declared himself ready to go. It'll be interesting to see if the Rangers put him back in the lineup just because they've been, playing so well.
They're solid.
But, in the playoffs, you need depth. And I mean, Blake Wheeler's a pretty good depth guy to have.
He's a pretty good depth guy. It would be good for Paul Maurice. I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of people in the city who have become Florida Panther fans because Paul Maurice is a really good guy. He was a class act. He was always
He's entertaining, that's for sure.
Always entertaining, good quote.
I wouldn't say that I'm a Florida Panthers fan. I find their brand of hockey a little too dirty for me. I don't know.
I don't particularly like watching them either. And I
hate Matthew Tkachuk. I'm just going to say that. I can't stand the guy. I haven't liked him since day one.
No, he's a bit of a jerk. But
yeah,
it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I think coming down the stretch, it's going to be lots of really good hockey and
so let's prediction time. What do you we don't know about game seven tonight mm-hmm. between the Oilers and Canucks, but like who's your Stanley Cup final? What's your prediction
based on who's left right now? I'm gonna go with the Rangers, and then I'm gonna go with whoever comes out of the series tonight.
Okay.
Vancouver or Edmonton.
Yep.
I think either one of those teams is going to beat Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Vancouver is a bit of a, what do you call that? Karma, like dynasty, kind of Cinderella type of thing.
Yeah.
So, which is a odd term to use for a team that finished so high in the standings, but they do feel like the underdog in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And they've had these, their starting goaltender, who's one of the best in the league, is out there on their third stringer, Artur Shelovs, who's been outstanding for the most mm-hmm. part. Now they've lost Brock Besser, and it's kind of like
they're that team though, that like you say, right? It's like hockey is a very, very weird sport, and it's like karmic, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've got that look. They've got that look about them. The team that steps it up and makes all the right moves in the playoffs, and they seem to be going really well. And
I'm gonna say Vancouver and New York as well. I'm going for I just that 94 rematch. That's what I'm going for. Yeah, so that's kind of some playoff talk. Jared, there's a couple other topics we were gonna get on.
Well, so speaking of playoffs, the Professional Women's Hockey League, the first ever final is going on right
P-dub.
now. Yeah. And a little bit surprising, although, speaking of karma, it is kind of it is kind of ironic. So Toronto was the sort of the preeminent team throughout the year, finished in top spot. And the Women's Hockey League has kind of this weird,
Well,
although
it's
interesting
interesting.
wrinkle, right?
Yeah,
Where
I think there's it's so it's the higher seeded team got to pick their opponent of the lower seeded teams. So in a best of five series, Toronto, the top ranked team, they chose Minnesota,
Who finished
who,
fourth?
yeah. And what is there, six teams? Or is there four
So
teams?
four teams made it. So Toronto, Boston, Minnesota, Montreal. And so Toronto picks Minnesota, and Minnesota, so Toronto had finished the year 47 points. Minnesota had finished the year with 35 points, so they tied with Boston. But Toronto got out to a 2-0 lead, and things are looking great. They won both games at home,
Then
and
they go
then
ahead and pull the classic Toronto choke job.
so things shift to the Xcel Energy Center. Minnesota ties up the series. They come back to Toronto, and on Friday, Minnesota finishes the Toronto squad off 4-1. And
Yeah,
then,
there was a double overtime 1-0 game though. That's pretty wild. I mean, and then Boston in the other series, Boston swept
swept
Montreal
Montreal.
in three straight. And so it's a Boston Minnesota final.
Which Boston has won the one game one yesterday, 4-3. So yeah, we'll keep tabs on that.
Yeah, I'll have to tune in. I've seen some PWHL action kind of sparingly so far. I only caught a little bit of a Toronto Minnesota game. I can't even remember which one it was. Might have been like game two or something like that. But yeah, no, I'll have to try and get tuned in for some of the final. It's I think it's interesting. Do you think that like the way that they chose their lower seeded opponent? I mean, does any other league of any sport do that?
I don't think so.
I can't think of any, right? Like it's an interesting kind of way to go about things. I don't know. We'll see what happens if they, continue doing that. I remember hearing a little bit of debate because I think maybe like Minnesota had been coming on a little stronger towards the end of the season, whereas, they had like the bad start. And so there was like debates, like, do you want the team that, has
That's
fizzled or is,
riding the hot hand coming in, right?
So, yeah, pretty interesting little format, I guess.
Also going on right now,
You got the worlds,
the World Cup of Hockey, or
no,
the
World Championships,
Ice Hockey World Championship, sorry.
World Cup is, well, actually,
No,
no, I
the
was going to
world.
say it's coming next year, but that they're not calling it the World Cup. It's
The Friendship Cup or
the
something.
four Frozen Four. I don't know what they're
Right.
calling it. Yeah.
Anyways, they are playing in Czechia, not the former Czech or Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia. Yeah. It's between Prague and Ostrava, I believe. And Jaromír Jágr has been, I mean, he's
Is he all
Mr. Czechia. He's there taking in all the action. And yeah, so Canada Czechia game tomorrow is the final game of the round robin. They play seven round robin games. It's crazy.
Like,
Like, it seems like a lot.
well, and so, yeah, eight teams in each division, including noted hockey powerhouses, Great Britain, Poland, Kazakhstan, France.
Yeah.
So Canada's been, you know, Canada's been doing what Canada does typically in this tournament. They've got 5 wins, plus 1 overtime win. Pretty greasy game against Austria where they gave up
a
5-goal lead. It was 6-1,
and Austria came back, tie it, then they won in overtime. You know, there have been some close games. Of course, I don't think it was particularly close against Great Britain or you know, any of these kind of guys, but you know, Switzerland, they always play a tight game. You know, Finland to me has been kind of surprising. This is the Group A anyway, that Finland has only got 2 wins of their 5 round robin games so far. They obviously still have 2 to go, but like they've just not been, you think of Finland maybe as one of the more powerhousey teams, but Czechia, the home squad, has been playing really good. And of course, you know, some of these countries might be missing some of their top players. Like, well, Finland is missing, you know, Aho and
Finland has Olli Maatta, Puljujärvi, and Michael Granlund are the only 3 players from the NHL that are playing. So, you know, it's like Canada's kind of a weird mix, right? Like, Canada's a bunch of younger players.
It was a pretty young team that they sent over there.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Dylan
mean,
Cousins is kind of leading the way offensively. He had a down year for Buffalo, I think.
The
workhorse from Whitehorse. I really like that player, but I think everybody in Buffalo had a down year this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like the US has like the US has a pretty stacked roster of all the sort of the young guys that you would imagine are there. Your Zegrises and your Matt Boldy is leading the leading the tournament in scoring right now. But then they've also got Brady Tkachuk, and they've got Johnny Gaudreau, and you know, lots of guys. So it'll be interesting. Sweden is currently leading Group B. Canada leading Group A. I think at some point Canada's going to have to go through Sweden or the U.S. as is always the case. So
yeah. Well, you know, with no Russia participating, I guess that gives you teams like Great Britain or Kazakhstan or whatever kind of an extra berth to the tournament. But it does mean, yeah, like maybe the path through the group is a little quote unquote easier.
Yeah. But
at the end of the day, yes, you can basically expect Sweden and USA and Canada. It looks like Czechia is probably gonna, you know, they've been hot, they've been good. they're riding the Yermer Yager tide, you know.
Well, and also what's interesting, so Canada's got a game left against Czechia, and it will be, I believe, the first game that Czechia will feature a lineup that includes David Pastrnak, who is flying in. Martin Natchez is coming over.
You know, I didn't realize Natchez was Czech. Interesting.
Yeah.
So they're bolstering their lineup.
Yeah, which is weird. Like 6 games in. Oh, hey. Well, you know, if I could pull David Pastrnak in, it's probably
pull him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, maybe listen. If Vancouver wins tonight and McDavid gets eliminated, he'll fly to Czech Republic overnight.
You know what McDavid's doing if he gets eliminated?
Be there right in time for the game against Czechia.
If McDavid gets eliminated tonight, you know what McDavid's doing? He's going to hide in his big mansion in Edmonton, and we're not going to see him for a little while.
He's got an indoor basketball court in there.
Yeah, it's a sweet house.
Yeah, somebody shared this picture with me recently, and it is a pretty nice house for sure. I mean, what you know, it's what you expect of a guy like that. But the ceiling in the indoor basketball court looks a little low to me. Like, it'd be, if you're trying to drain some threes from downtown, I don't know how much room for arc you've got there. Maybe it's for dunks only, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm thinking it's for aesthetics. I don't know if he's hooping it up too much there. Maybe he's running a children's basketball league.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Lower the net a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're out of time for period two here. We're going to play a song.
Yeah.
Which one are we going with?
Well, we've run long, as always. It's a common mistake on this show. Well,
that's...
And so we're going to play a Cloud Nothing song from their brand new record. I love this band. They are very, very, very good. And this song is called Common Mistake. See what it did there?
They tied it in.
I'm tied it in. Yeah. So stay tuned right here. Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show.
We're back here on Talking Hockey, the Hockey Talking Show. That was Cloud Nothing's, their song, Common Mistake. A common mistake that we've made before on the show is running a little too long, which is why we've trimmed our new segment here, which is called Pack-a-Day Habit, where we hack up along and we open a pack of vintage hockey cards. Co-host Jared found himself in the West End not too long ago at a store called Can-Am or something, or
I think it's Can-Am Sports,
something like that. And anyway, they sell you know, unopened packs of hockey cards from the junk wax era, as it's called, late 80s, early 90s, and pure nostalgia.
So many treats over there, man.
Yeah,
so many good things. And they're relatively inexpensive, and it's a fun little walk down memory lane. So.
For sure. So last week we started our Pack-a-Day Habit and we opened the pack live on air and we kind of went through it and it ran pretty long. So we thought, you know what? We're gonna tighten that up. And what we're doing, we've opened our packs. We got the 1990 Score NHL hockey pack that we've opened. Has 15 player cards in it, no gum. But it's, don't worry, it's officially licensed. You got your you could even send in your wrapper to get team logo pins, which is pretty cool.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there was only 21 teams back in 1990. If you
we should send these in, see what we can get.
I used to have some team logo pins. There was a Montreal Canadiens ones I had, and an I don't know, maybe I got it from that somehow. I don't know, but regardless, Jared, I've got a handful of cards here I'd like to share with you.
Okay,
that I pulled out of this pack.
Okay,
and there's a bit of a theme to the cards I've selected here, in that three of them are goalies, and
I got a pretty sweet goalie card.
Okay, so I've got Alan Bester of your Toronto Maple Leafs. Look at those brown pads.
Just weighing about 50 pounds.
Yeah. And you know what I want to say about this card is that was an era that Toronto just they didn't really have a goalie. They were like, you know, rudderless in net. Fast forward to 2024, and has anything changed, Jared? I don't know.
No.
But here's a guy who did come to Toronto and kind of stabilized the net a little bit. But in this card, he's with St. Louis Blues, Cujo, Curtis Joseph. And that's before he got a cool mask. He's still rocking the Cooper, Mike Vernon style, you know, goalie mask there with St. Louis. But he did
very nice.
Probably that season or the next season, get the cool paint job mask, you know. The other goalie, rocking the same helmet and mask combo, and maybe he's got some brown pads. He's got those Cooper gear. It's Glenn Healy,
for
New York Islanders. He was on Hockey Night in Canada for a number of years. Then they quietly kind of, I don't know, fired him. I have no idea whatever happened to Glenn Healy. I thought
he was okay. You know, he wasn't terrible.
I don't know. I feel like he was a bit of a bullish kind of character. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll quickly go through the other ones I pulled out that I thought were notable. I really like this guy based on his name alone. This is a prospect card. Bob Beers. Have some beers. Post-game Beers. I bet that was his nickname, Post-game Beers.
Yeah.
And then I got a guy that they called the Rat, Ken
Lonsman. With Philly.
Yeah. And so he was what? Basically, you know, the forerunner of your Brad Marchands, your Sean Avery's. And then this guy, Peter Zezel. I don't know. He was all right. But the rest of the cards in my pack were pretty meh.
Pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
Okay, so keeping with your goalie theme, I've got Reggie Lemelin.
I really like Reggie Lemelin.
And he's got that same mask. Look at the picture of him on the back. Look at that neck. Look at that neck protector.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What the heck, Reg? That's
a crazy turtleneck. Yeah. You know, I didn't even look at the back pictures.
And then we've got a great Brendan Shanahan card.
Oh, yeah, with New Jersey, and it's got that red and green kind of era
love,
New Jersey.
Love that red and green.
Shanny. He was pretty young in those days, I would say, 1990 with New Jersey. That was towards the beginning of his career.
We talked during our first segment about great 80s defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
I got you Rod Langway.
Oh, and now there's a... Yeah.
And he's also... Look at I love that Capitals jersey.
Yeah.
The red with the stars. And look at Rod's got a really good mustache spiked hair combo going on.
Yeah, because he did not wear a helmet. And he was playing the New Jersey Devils. That's some old Patrick Division action right there.
Yeah. We got Bob Probert. I got a Bob Probert last week too.
Okay. You just have to start a Probert collection.
Yeah. And I believe I got a Thomas Steen last week too.
Oh, Steiner. Yeah. Is he wearing the C in that?
He is wearing the C.
Okay.
Somebody must have been hurt. We got a Hall of Famer card. Gilbert Perreault.
So he was like French Connection, Buffalo Sabres, late 70s kind of thing.
Yep. And then we got a 1990 season leader, rookie points, Sergei Makarov.
Oh, Makarov. Okay, so he came over in that first wave of Russian players. So this is 1990, folks. Remember, the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, I think it was.
Yeah.
And the borders opened up a little bit, and we started to see some of these Russian players in North America for the first time. So Makarov would have been a rookie, but I think he was like 25.
Yeah.
You know, or,
well,
you know,
and so
he wasn't 18 or anything like that.
And so he was part of, like, perhaps, like, a lot of people at that point figured that they were the best line in the world. They were called the KLM line, and it was Vladimir Krutov, Igor Larionov, and Sergei Makarov. And Makarov came to the Flames, and Larionov and Krutov went to Vancouver. And I remember when they came because I went and I saw, I tried to go see all those, all the Russian guys, right? Because it's a big hubbub. Detroit,
yeah, it was big news,
Detroit got, Detroit had Fedorov at that point. Vladimir Konstantinov went to the Devils, and later they all ended up in Detroit. But I remember Larionov struggled his first year, and Vladimir Krutov gained about 65 pounds. Like
he's eating like,
you know,
Japadog or whatever the big thing in Vancouver is.
And it was the Canucks in that classic I like those. I like those uniforms. One more other notable mention. I always like this guy, and I like the perspective of this card.
Okay,
like
so
it's
got
one
a
of them sideways.
Oh, Dirk Graham.
Dirk Graham.
Regina's own.
And he, I didn't realize that he was a captain. But
the
also
the year they went to the Cup Finals against Pittsburgh, got swept in four straight. Dirk Graham was the captain.
Yeah. So he's using the Coffee 5030 Sherwood there, and he's got a good bucket on. He's got a good mustache, and I just love this landscape card.
Yeah, that is a nice one. Can you just check the back and confirm for me that he was indeed born in Regina?
He sure was.
Okay, so
look at the picture of Dirk on the back.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
he's got that jofa, right?
He looks like John Cleese from Monty Python.
I pulled one landscape card out of mine, and wouldn't you know it, it's also a Chicago Blackhawk, so teammate of Dirk. So maybe the Blackhawks were all landscape that year.
Oh,
I don't
Keith
know.
Brown.
Yeah, Keith Brown, he's rocking a clapper from the blue line there, wearing the A. So this is 1 year before the Hawks made their cup run.
Yeah.
I would say, or cup final run. They didn't win. They were a bit of a surprise that year to go to the final, if I'm not mistaken, just as the year before. Or was it the year after? Minnesota was. But Pittsburgh, the Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh Penguins, they handled both teams with ease.
Yeah.
But those were a couple of Cinderella runs for sure. Of course, the Cinderella Vancouver Canucks. I don't know if they really deserve that. Of all the teams remaining, I think they're the Cinderella team.
They're definitely the Cinderella team.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was good. A concise version of Pack-a-Day Habit. I like it. We'll be back with, we've got several more packs to go through. We've got there's an Upper Deck pack just waiting in the wings. There's a Pro Set pack. There's a Parkhurst and an OPG pack. So, and then once we get through those, we'll
go buy some more.
Take another trip down to Old Canland Sports or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So, We'll end the show, Jared, on a bit of a sad note that the news kind of went around the hockey world this week that longtime TSN host Darren Dutition passed away at the age of 57. And I was genuinely saddened when I heard that news.
Me too.
You know, he's a guy that I have seen on TV like it feels like my entire life, you know.
Yep.
He's been with TSN forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, covering most of the sports, big hockey guy. Just genuinely, you know, like you hear of people in the public eye who pass away and it's like, oh, that's too bad. That's sad. But I was genuinely, I felt genuine sadness there for Dutition. And too young.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. As somebody who watched a lot of TSN growing up, he was like kind of the second sort of part of the second wave of like SportsCenter guys for me, and he was excellent, very very good at what he did, and he seemed to like he had a good time doing it. He always seemed to be having some fun and, you know, giving guys nicknames and, you know, he just kind of genuinely loved his job. And yeah, like you said, I was definitely, definitely saddened by the news. Far too young for sure. And so, you know, rest in peace, Darren Dutition. Thoughts out to friends and family and folks who knew him. A pal of mine, Derek Taylor, who's the play-by-play guy for the Bombers now. Used to do some work for TSN and talked quite admirably about Darren Dattician and how when he was getting started, Dattician certainly kind of took him aside, took him under his wing a bit, and kind of helped him along. So seems like a really good guy, and it's definitely a sad loss for sure.
Yeah, yeah, major loss for the Canadian sporting landscape, as far as, you know, television and media and all that go.
Absolutely.
So yeah, yeah. R.I.P. We're gonna end our show this week with a tune. Uh-huh. This is so Propaganda is playing at the Park Theater on Osborne Street
tomorrow night.
It's a fundraiser
for Palestinian relief.
Yeah, and so we were like, oh, let's play some Propaganda. And then we got to talking and realized, interestingly enough, that Chris Hanna, past guest of the show, has, I didn't even know that this existed, but he released a couple years ago a solo album, which he says, don't call it a solo album. It's just kind of a collection of songs that he's recorded that are covers of, well, they're just kind of reworkings of Propaganda songs. They're covers of other songs, you know, SNFU, et cetera. We're going to play a cover of a Voivod song, which is a Quebec thrash band from the 80s. And Beav, the former guitarist of Propaganda, current guitarist in Agassi, and former Caress of Steel player, hockey player, and Garage Leaguer, Beav, he plays guitar on this version of what's the song called? I'm sorry,
it's called Panorama.
Okay, yeah, and so yeah, we're gonna go out on Panorama by Jesus H. Chris Hanna, featuring Beav on guitar, right here on Talkin' Hockey, the Hockey Talkin' Show.
Keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah, you better keep your stick on the ice. That's right.